Good evening, everybody. James McCanny here with my Science Hour, March 4th, 2021, and a special show tonight on the Colburn, on the history of Israelites, on things like metal mining in England, Joseph of Arimathea, Christ's great uncle, the crucifixion, the Herod slaughter of less than two-year-olds, the denial of all kinds of things today by standard astronomy and Carl Sagan with his Cosmos series, the Velikovsky event, who the CIA is, the police force of the World Bank, who the World Bank is, the Trump phenomenon and how that fits into this, Celtic, Germanic, Irish heritages, and the tribes of Israel that left Egypt with Moses, all of this tied together in a history that has been obfuscated from you, the public. And a lot of you listening, you may have an inkling of this. Some of you might have a little better knowledge of this than others. You may have been told this, and then somebody turns around and says, no, that's all false. All of this is very documented history. All of it is very documented history. And so I'm going to go through kind of an outline, and each one of these topics I could spend probably 2 to 3 or 4 hours on, etc., or maybe more. I've been on radio shows with people. I'll just name some people who are really, really knowledgeable about these areas. One is somebody named Leo Lyons-Agami. You should follow his work because he... literally has been in the Vatican and understands the very detailed history of pedophilia, for example, that is rampant in the government of the United States and all the way down through the governments, through the state, the local level, etc., through the court systems, and through the school systems in the United States and worldwide. And it's very important to understand that because the Catholic Church was taken over in the Middle Ages by the Jesuits, and they've been running it ever since at those higher levels. I'm not talking about your pastor, priest, the parish priest down the street. I'm not talking about them, although there's a lot of influence in what they're allowed to teach and what they do teach and what's really being kept from you because of the structure of the Catholic Church. And so this is what I want to get at. Technically, the Catholic Church is the church that followed Christ, but there was a schism. The Orthodox, the Eastern Orthodox Church, did not like what was going on in Rome and broke away and had their own structure. Let's just put it that way. And it was not the kind of structure with the Pope at the top. In the Catholic Church, the Pope is like a king, kind of, and he wears robes and people kiss his ring and send all kinds of money to Rome and things like that. And the Eastern Orthodox Church is not like that at all. And they keep with the traditions of Christmas. They don't go out and buy a lot of presents at Christmas. They were not fooled into the idea that Santa Claus is the big center person of Christmas, or that the Easter Bunny lays golden colored eggs on for Easter, the taking over of the holidays. But going back into history, all of that is kind of modern twists on a topic that goes way back into history, understanding the true history of man. And that's the crux of the issue. And the descendants of Abraham, who I think we all know in history, was basically the father of the Israelite nations with the 12 sons. And then there's a lot of issues of what happened to them. But let's go back through history to what some people might call the very pinnacle of the beginning of what you might call modern historical times, and that would be the Noah's Flood. The flood was an event where a comet, a large comet, came through the solar system And we passed through the comet tail for about 40 days and 40 nights. It was torrential rain. Noah had an inkling that this thing was coming. He was tipped off. So here he is out in the middle of nowhere building an ark, and everybody's laughing at him until it starts to rain. And when it starts to rain, the torrential rains, the kind of rains where I've been in tropical rains, torrential rainstorms, where it's raining so hard that you cannot breathe. And by the way, I go through a lot of the detail on my two CD set. It's 18 hours of lectures of the history of Planet X and ancient celestial disasters. So I'm not going to repeat that here. You have to go listen to those CDs to get a lot of detail on the Noah's flood. And so then what the Old Testament is simply a genealogy. I mean, if you read the Old Testament, it goes from generation to generation to generation. That's what it is. And it's a result of the tremendous catastrophes that befell Earth and the inhabitants of planet Earth. Now, of course, all of this is denied by modern archaeology, by modern science, by modern historians, and it's to be just a fable. Well, it was literally the demise of a huge sector of population of planet Earth. Very few people lived through that. And so that is pinnacle in understanding the history of planet Earth. The next major event in history was the Moses event. And once again, on my two CD set, 18 hours of lectures, I talk about the Moses event and related to the Venus event, which is what Velikovsky talked about. Now, let me just stop here for a minute. This is the issue in a nutshell. There is a history here, Moses leading the Israelites out of Egypt. They were slaves there. And the situation had evolved. It's very clear now that even though the Israelites were in a form of bondage, they were highly skilled laborers. It was not the slaves in loincloths being beaten by whips and pulling big blocks of stone with the ropes made out of hemp or whatever. That was not the situation. It's very clear that the Israelites were very highly craft-oriented people in their stonework and other etc., which, by the way, once we get advanced in this topic and get up to Ireland, for example, or up to Norway, etc., where they were building ships and eventually ended up building the big ships, like the Titanic and the Maiden, sister ship to the Titanic, and a lot of the big ships were built in Belfast by the Irish because they were shipbuilders. Historically, they were. But once again, here is the crux of the issue. We have a history. It is a very clear history that Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt. And this occurred during a tremendous earth-wide catastrophe. And this was the Venus event. This was the event when Venus, the comet, passed through the solar system and on two occasions came very close to Earth. We get this from every culture on planet Earth. I'm not going to go through all this detail again here. This is not the point of this lecture. The point of this lecture is to point out that there are two groups of people who are claiming this history. And one has gained control of the Catholic Church, the news media, the intelligence agencies, the governments of pretty much the entire world through their banking efforts, the Jesuits. And so who are the Jesuits? They're not Christians by birth, by origin. They're a group of people who converted in Spain. The original history of the Jesuits is they converted to Catholicism because if they didn't, they were going to have their eyes gouged out in the Inquisition. And so as good Jewish people always do, they went underground and they basically gave the front of being Christian and Catholic, but kept the Jewish basically secret societies in place and by appointments and by moving continually, eventually became basically in charge of the Catholic Church. In the Middle Ages, after Columbus discovered the New World, Columbus was not this wonderful guy that they paint him, an explorer. He was after money. He was on a trip for slavery, for goods, for materials, to make a lot of money. That's what the purpose of Columbus was, and he discovered the New World. He wasn't the only one. John Cabot was another one who followed a few years later. He would have been the one discovering the Americas and the Vikings were there before them, hundreds of years earlier. But the point is that at that point in history, the Jesuits controlled the governments of Europe, and through banking and appointments and arranged marriages, etc., controlled the money flow. And so when this vast, and I mean vast, by today's standards, it would be an extremely vast amount of wealth came out of the Americas in the form of gold, primarily, and other riches, but primarily gold. There was so much gold that they used it to ballast 200-foot-long ships. Not a few of them, but hundreds of ships making dozens of passages on the ocean. There are still, for example, off the Dominican Republic eastern coast, there are 25 galleys, there are 22, I believe, out of record, full of gold that are at the bottom of the ocean. They ballasted these ships. Now, if you're familiar with ballasting a ship, it takes a tremendous amount of weight to ballast a 200-foot ship. It was pure gold in the ballast of these ships. Unbelievable amounts of wealth, and this all flowed into the Catholic Church. That was the front for the World Bank. That's where it began. That was the control of nations. That's where the Bank of England was started, and the royalty of England. More recently, the Queen of England was a Rothschild. She was from Germany. She was born in Germany. But anyway, those are some side issues to kind of give you an idea of where things are today. So when the World Bank infiltrated the United States, which broke away from England, there was a guy named Cecil Rhodes who came along, and his stated goal was to take the United States down and bring it back under the flag of England and the Bank of England. And so right now there are 7,000 people in Washington, D.C. and sprinkled around the United States alone that are Rhodes Scholars, Susan Rice, Bill Clinton, and the list, a very, very long list of people that are common everyday names who were plucked out of law school or wherever they were. Bill Clinton was the illegitimate son of one of the Rockefellers. And that's why he got to where he is. This is possibly secret to most of you out there. But these people were taken to Oxford, educated in as Rhodes Scholars. And the whole design purpose of that was to take the United States down. And that's where the United States is today. So it's a racial issue. The United States was an Israelite-formed nation. The people that came to the United States, that formed the United States, that formed the progress of the United States, that created the wealth of the United States out of the vast resources of the United States, were Israelites and their history of Israelites. So at any rate, what's important here is that the history of the Israelites has been stolen. It's been stolen by a very small group of people who had absolutely nothing to do with Israel or Israelites or Egypt or anything. The Israelites were blonde-haired, blue-eyed, fair-skinned people, of which David of the house of one of the descendants of Abraham, in the house of David, was where Christ came from. Christ, historically, was a young, fair-skinned, light-haired, blue-eyed person. And the crucifixion was no mistake, because Christ was out preaching the true history of the world. And one of the things he was teaching about was the ancient disasters because of comets. And he was doing it through parables. So at any rate, what I want to do is go back farther in history and trace some of this forward to the and then make this connection in England, where the lost tribes of Israel, which were really never lost, the history is very clear, moved up around the Black Sea, the Caspian Sea, and north into western, what's now western Russia, and then north into northern Spain, and then eventually ended up in the Scandinavian countries, what are the Scandinavian countries now, northern Germany, which was blocked off from southern Germany by the Black Forest. Remember, the Romans tried to penetrate the Black Forest and got their butts kicked. The Romans went everywhere. If you look at the Roman, the development of Rome and the Roman armies and the conquests of the Roman armies, they did not lose. I don't care where they went. They kicked butt. But they couldn't get through the Black Forest. And the what were called the Huns and the barbarians of the north were fighters. These were fighters. These were the Celts. These were the remnants of the Israelites, who were many times on their travels to get up to those places, were hired as mercenaries or mercenary armies. And so at any rate, let's look at the Vikings, which once again were building boats. Where did they get the boat building skill? The Vikings got that because their descendants go back into the Phoenicians. The Viking boats, the long boats of the Vikings with the two, the head up in the front, the long serpent's head with the animal head on the front and then the tail on the back, are exactly like the Phoenician boats with the square rigged sail. The Phoenicians were cruising the world back in the days of Atlantis, when Egypt was a colony, Egypt was a separate country, and Greece was a minor developing country. And the Phoenicians were traders. They used to sail through what is now the North Pole region, which would be open ocean at that time. Remember, the northern polar cap is simply ice. There's no continent there like there is at the South Pole. The South Pole has a landmass, Antarctica, which had previously been about 35 degrees different from where it is now, and had a thriving culture of mastodons, etc., and that has all been rediscovered. Okay, so when the Moses event occurred, there was a pole shift, and that it was one of many pole shifts, and this is work, I'm going to mention the work of Mark Gaffney, in the middle of this, who's bringing to light, finally, the fact that there were many pole shifts, and he's doing some wonderful work regarding the examination of geological features and reef structures and animal populations in the ocean, etc., and how they shifted during some of these pole shifts. So there were a number of them. But the last major one was during what I call the Velikovsky event, or the Venus event, or the Moses event. And Velikovsky concentrated on this because he was taking his information from historical records. And that's why it's so important. And that is why it was so ultimately important to bury Velikovsky. Because when you get up to the level of the Jesuits and the secret societies, they wanted, their effort was to take over this history and keep the people, the Israelites, from understanding their true history. And that's what this is all about. So what's going on right now, just fast forward up to 2021 in COVID and the fixed elections, wearing masks, forced vaccinations, etc., is the racial destruction of the races, the final remnants of the races of Israel, the blue-eyed, blonde-haired, white-skinned. And so the racism is, it's not about black versus white or anything else. Those issues had been cured long ago. If you go back and look at the assassination of John Kennedy, when the people were in the streets after that, the blacks were next to the whites, in mixed, you know, there was no big issue back then. There were, of course, the racial equality issues going on. But for the most part, people grew up working together with black people. And when I was young, I worked in factories and went to the big city during my summers during college and worked there. I was the only white guy there. And they didn't bother me. I didn't bother them. There was no racial stress or anything like that. But the economy, that's a whole different issue of how the social democrats, the socialists, worked their way into literally both political parties and created basically the servitude community of the black people and put them on welfare, the welfare state, creating that. And that's another piece of history. Getting back to the issue of history, the filling this in for those of you who do not understand this, when Moses left Egypt with the Israelites, they had their 12 divisions of the houses of Israel, and they moved out and they somewhat stuck together. And some of them ended up in Israel in that region. And there was this conflict between the Hebrews and the Jews. And the Judaism was there was a Hebrew history, and eventually this got taken over by Jews. And so this is one of the glaring issues that's going on today, is that the history of the Israelites has been sequestered by people who do not belong to that history. So the racism that's going on today, and now I've experienced this personally, being a blonde-haired, blue-eyed, white-skinned person in the midst of the Jesuits who've taken over, and understand that these are the Jews that took over the Catholic Church, also controlled the majority of universities where I worked for a long time and became involved. So when I was doing my comet work at Cornell, for example, not only was I stamping on the noses and discovering and publicizing the secret information that was considered secret within the Vatican, etc., but I was also of Irish descent, which is the Israelite descent. So I never understood the hatred. And there again, if you look at somebody like Donald Trump, if you look at the hatred, this was not just about economics. This was not about policy with China. This was not about the Iran deal or the Paris Climate Accord. This was about Donald Trump being in Northern German and Irish descent, Scottish descent, becoming president of the United States. The last time that happened, the guy's name was John Kennedy. And so these people did not owe allegiance to the people who were really running the country, including the CIA. So if you look back at who killed John Kennedy, the mob was involved, the CIA, and they were worked hand in hand with the mob because they were all involved in the same nefarious businesses together, internationally, etc. So who is the CIA? The CIA is the top intelligence agency in the United States, of which there are now 17 agencies. The CIA is the police force of the World Bank. They were put into the United States to basically control the United States. They are the whenever any issue of monetary issues or international monetary issues come up. Remember the book by John Perkins, The Confessions of an Economic Hitman, who worked for the CIA. He was a hitman. He was the guy that went out and took foreign governments and turned them into mush, converted them, took over the country's resources, brought in the international corporations to rape and pillage the country, and kept the people in the dirt and fixed elections. That's who the CIA is. Ecuador, I mean, I could go through a laundry list of, I could go through every country in the world, including the United States, where they have influenced elections, and the last 2020 election presidential election, and literally all the elections in the United States are now controlled. And the pinnacle person there is the CIA. When Hillary Clinton lost the election in 2016, the very first person she blamed in her rage, which would be definitely a Freudian slip, was George Bush Sr. And people would say, well, he's a Republican. Well, no, they all worked in the same business together. Corruption, international trade and corruption, peddling, influence, drugs, child trafficking, on and on, pornography for young children, pedophilia. That's what they dealt in. And so they were the representatives in the United States of the Vatican Bank. That's who they are. That's what the Rhodes Scholars are. Okay, so anyway, there is a war going on, and there's not just a war between, say, political parties and things like that. If you look in the United States, there is no split between Republicans and Democrats. They're all one party. They've been the same for a long time. But that's not the point of this lecture. The whole point is that this is all aimed at destroying a tremendously powerful force that is heavily armed, called the Israelites. And the Israelites really have lost track of themselves. They have lost sight of who they are and where they came from and who's trying to steal their identity and destroy. This is the real racism that is going on right now. So I'm going to go back into history a little bit more and fill in some of the steps here, going back to Egypt. Now, in Celtic lore, there are songs and legends about Egyptian princesses because there was a connection there. So when Moses left, and then all of these events were going on, the Red Sea parted, the Israelites were able to cross, and then the Pharaoh's armies came in behind and were washed away as the Red Sea swashed back. This was all a result of Venus the Comet coming by, and the Israelites also had a pillar of fire that extended up into the sky that stood between them and the Egyptian army and Pharaoh for a period of time, and that was the electrical discharge coming from Comet Venus. And if you can look in the Mideast, there are telltale signs of those events. They discovered the chariots of Pharaoh in the bottom of the Red Sea. This was a historical event. They discovered, the divers went down and found the chariots. There they were. So this is all very much a historical event. They then moved on and they, for 40 years, wandered in the desert with a bright light that shone by day and night. It lit their way. And so when it was cloudy out, they had their way lit because of this extremely bright light in the sky, which is the comet Venus working its way in to become the planet Venus that we know today. So the whole issue here is, now let's just take a step back. Everything I'm telling you here is a historical fact, but it has been buried and pushed asunder by every scientific community, every archaeological community, every historical community, and they paint a completely different picture. And so now the whole point is that an entirely different group of people came along after World War II and through political maneuvering established a country that is now called Israel. It's a misnomer to call that country Israel because that was the place where the Israelites settled at one point in time, some of them. The rest of them moved on, as I said, up into Western Russia and then West, eventually populating Northern Germany, the bulk of them eventually populating Northern Germany, parts of Northern Spain, but those people moved up into the British Isles, forming a part. Let me explain this, a part of the British population, and also the more pure remnant, the Celts, moved into the Irish Isles, which at the time there was a land bridge, and they basically walked across, but they also had boats And they became very, very prolific in the beautiful islands of Ireland, which was warmed by this mid-Atlantic current that is has existed there until the BP oil spill of a number of years ago, but became very prolific and carried their skills with them in boat building, etc. My particular ancestors came from Norway in longboats and settled along the north and western coasts of Ireland. So a lot of the Irish population are Celtic from the Nordic people that settled there. They also got as far as North America, but were not that successful. Now, the point is, let's bring two parts of this history together, because in the Roman world, as they were expanding, they needed something called metal. Metal. Yeah, tin, copper, other types of metals, iron. And it turns out that all of this metal came from a central region of England, an area now known as Glastonbury. And it turned out that there was a rather wealthy Roman businessman. His name was Joseph of Arimathea, sometimes called Joseph of Glastonbury. And his title was Master of the Mines. He was the Minister of Mines of Rome in England. He was the guy that controlled the mines. So he hired the workers, he went there, he had the boats, and the boats that they used looked a lot like the Phoenician boats of old. And those were the same type of boats as the long boats as the Vikings, which, of course, came a lot later. The Vikings were like 800 AD. Joseph of Arimathea was working around 50 BC in that time frame, establishing his contacts and moving metal down to Rome. So he was an extremely wealthy. Can you imagine being in a militaristic society like Rome, which was highly developed at that point, which was conquering in all directions? The need for metal. And here's the guy. Here's the man who is in charge of getting all that metal and bringing it back to Rome, Joseph of Arimathea. And guess what? He just happens to be the uncle of Mary, Mother of Christ. So this guy is Joseph of Arimathea, is Christ's great uncle. When Christ was young, we know his history up to about age 12, and then it just goes blank. We really don't know, but there is clear evidence, not only clear physical evidence, but clear circumstantial evidence, that Joseph of Arimathea took him under his wing, and they were in a lot of different places. They were in, it is claimed they were in the Americas, but for sure they were in England, at Glastonbury. And if you remember, Joseph, by the way, is in the Roman history books. There are some claims that he was just referenced in the four books of the Bible. Well, that's not true. He was referenced because this is the main man. This is the guy that controlled the metal flow from the mines to Rome. One of the most wealthy businessmen in all of Rome. So Mary, being his niece, was a beneficiary of all this. She was not some pauper young girl, you know, living in a hut someplace. She had means, and this is something that's completely lost also, because the importance here of Joseph of Arimathea is key to this whole issue, because Christ went to England, and like I said, Joseph of Arimathea took Christ under his arm. The other thing that Joseph had besides metal and wealth was a library. Joseph of Arimathea had the most extensive library in all of Rome. It was his private library. After the crucifixion, he was so angered. He also dealt with down in Israel. Joseph himself was born down in Israel, the original Israel. And so the you know, that is associated there again with the house of David. And so these people are Israelites. these people are Israelites living amongst the Romans. They were very energetic people, very had business acumen. They knew how to do things, and the Romans depended on Joseph for their metal supply. Can you even imagine this? This is not taught to you in the history books. Why? Because it's essential to you understanding who these people are. They're Israelites. They were not Jews. They were not Romans. They were Israelites, and they maintained their identity. Now, in central England, the Romans tried many times to attack England, but they couldn't. They were repelled. The Romans tried many times to attack the northern Germanic tribes. They did not fare well, ever, up there. If you read the accounts, it was pretty brutal. The Romans really got kicked. And the Romans never lost any place. Even if they were outnumbered 3-1 or 5-1 or 10-1, the Romans won. They won every battle they were in. But they couldn't get into England, and they couldn't get into northern Germany. And they certainly never made it up to the Scandinavian countries. Okay, so this is all developing. Now, let's talk about Joseph's library. And this is something that the wealthy people of the time understood. This is the information that was kept and taken into the Vatican. Remember the burning of the Library of Alexandria? Well, let me tell you, folks, there was probably a fire there. They probably threw some books in there. But that library did not get burned. It is somewhere. It is just obfuscated from you. You don't get to see it. The same. Now, this is when Joseph of Arimathea, after the death of Christ on the cross, it was Joseph of Arimathea that went to Pontius Pilate and said, "Hey, I have the right. I have the right under Roman law and traditional Hebrew law to take the body of Christ." And this was his buddy. This Christ was his good friend, and he was very interested in Christ and spent a lot of time working with Christ. And so Christ was very knowledgeable. So where did Christ get all of this information? Remember, he was 12 years old in the temple, and he was teaching the learned men. Where did he get all this information from? He was well-educated young boy. There's indications that they were in India. They traveled around. These people got around because Joseph of Arimathea was probably the best-known, wealthiest businessman in all of Rome. But he was an Israelite. He was the house of David. And so all of this information is kept from you. Now, let's fast forward a few hundred years. Joseph of Arimathea, after the crucifixion, takes Mary, the mother of Christ, Mary Magdalene, and a few other people, and he takes the cross and the chalice that he also allegedly had taken some of the blood from Christ, because the chalice of the Last Supper, he took and he actually accumulated some of the blood, and they took this to England, where they basically stored it, but Joseph took his library with him, and this is a historical event when the Romans sent out a number of times and they never could get as far as Glastonbury. The English always repelled them because the English had the Celts. The Celts were insane fighting people. They had archery. They were just unstoppable. And that's where the Irish get their spirit today. Joseph of Arimathea took his library, his entire library, the best library in all of Rome, to Glastonbury. A number of times the Roman armies came out, and finally around estimated 300 AD, they made it all the way to Glastonbury. The people there understood what was going on. They put as much as they could into wagons and escaped. And then after the Romans burned down the abbey and whatever was there, tried to destroy everything, these people went back and picked up the pieces. Those remnants, which were written in primarily Latin and Greek, very well-known languages, were then hidden by the Celts for literally a number of thousands of years. Now, I'll just give you a little hint of where I got involved in all of this. A guy I used to talk to, Bill, I'm not going to mention his last name. He passed away probably about 10 years ago. When he was a young guy, his grandmother always talked and read to him out of a book. It was called The Bronze Book of England. And it was a book of knowledge. It was a book that was used to, like, ancient knowledge. And so anyway, that knowledge that was passed on through the country schools of the United States, etc., because they were Israelites, became lost. And so he decided as an adult, he was probably 40 to 50 years old when he started on this quest. He says, I'm going to go out and I'm going to locate those books. I don't care if I have to search the entire world over. He finally made connections with a group of people known as publicly as the Chaldean Trust. And at that time, he was a big fan of mine. He listened to my shows. He understood my work. He knew my work with the Russian scientists. He knew my history going back to Cornell. He knew all about my work. And he would listen, by the way, Bill would listen to all of the radio shows that were going on at the time. And he's the one that told me. I was talking to him about Atlantis and Tesla and et cetera. He's the one that said, Jim, you got to write a book about this. So that's where the Atlantis to Tesla, the Colburn Connection book came from his encouragement to write that book. But at any rate, he finally made a connection with the Chaldean Trust at the same time when they were building up and translating and finalizing what is now known as the Colburn. The Colburn is not a Bible. It is the remnant of the library, the pieces, most important pieces of the library of Joseph of Arimathea. That's what it is. And so these texts are very important because it gives you a glimpse into what the Bible that we call today the Bible should be saying that been completely whitewashed primarily by the Catholic Church and the Middle Ages monasteries of the Catholic Church. And all of this real material has been washed out of it because they didn't know what it meant. They didn't understand it. And they said, well, this couldn't be true, so they just got rid of it. And so anyway, but the Colburn is not a Bible. As soon as I came out with my book in 2002, it was the Atlantis to Tesla, the Colburn Connection, the CIA jumped in there immediately and basically destroyed the value and reputation of the Colburn. They got some clowns to come in to pretend that they wrote the Colburn, which is ludicrous, and then made all kinds of crazy claims like the Mayan calendar and the 2012 and the Mayan calendar and, Planet X and, you know, all kinds of just goofy stuff and associated it with the Colburn. And the real Colburn is available. You can still buy it. It's available online. I have a link on my webpage where you can get the real Colburn from the Chaldean Trust. But it got completely turned sideways because of the efforts of the CIA. And the reason I know that is because I know the people who produced the Colburn. I eventually got to talk to them. So Bill, my friend, went out and he got the first three copies off of the printing press of the Colburn, with beautiful big bound book with a Celtic symbol in gold on the cover. Got a copy. He got three copies. He kept one copy and he gave me one of the copies, and another copy went to a guy named Dick, who is a friend of his, a longtime friend. Those were the three copies of the Colburn that got into they were the first ones off the printing press. And so I had the copy, and the Chaldean Trust came to me and they said, what does it mean? Please interpret this for us. And so I opened it up and I started reading, and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is a historical record of comets in the sky, the sky monsters, and they're fighting. So there were multiple comets in the sky at one time, and plus all of the other books on how to live, a tremendous amount of historical information This is what was available to the knowledgeable people back in the year of the time of Christ. The people like Joseph of Arimathea, who was a scholar, he wasn't just a businessman. He was a very worldly person and collected the best library in existence at the time. The rest of the Romans were off partying and drinking and puking in the vomitoriums, but not Joseph of Arimathea. He was a very conservative Israelite businessman. The importance here is to connect these Israelite groups together and the history of what's going on today, and understand that everything you see today is a racially oriented destruction of the Israelite race. It's not about anything else. If you take any topic today, any topic, it will be a twist and a direct effort to destroy, put down the last remnants of the Israelites, who are primarily in the United States, the countries of Ireland and Norway, etc. The majority of the Israelites are now in the United States. That's where they came to. The United States started as an Israelite country. It was a Christian country. It was brought up on Christian values, and all of that is being destroyed on purpose by a group of people who want to make sure that the Israelites never rise again. Now, I want to give a little bit of a history of here who Donald Trump is. And this is not a political issue. This is simply a historical record. Why did they hate this guy so much? Why was there such venom? You've never seen venom like this before. He was an Israelite, blonde-haired, light-haired, that kind of reddish look, and with a fierce attitude, fiercely competitive attitude. But he was Northern Germanic on the father's side, and the mother was from the islands of Scotland. And that's where he got the Bible that he would hold up during some of the tough times, you would see him walking around, he would hold up a Bible. That Bible came from his mother, and there's an entire story that talks about the difficult times that a local parish went through that his ancestors came from, and part of the destruction from England. Now, let's look at the population of England. So England is a mixing bowl of Romans who moved in from the south, from the Celts, of course, who were there, who came in and also populated Ireland. But Ireland is much more pure historically of Celtic origin. But the English also had people moving in who were controlling from other parts of the world, namely the banks. So this idea where England controlled the world, if it were not for the Celts and archery, England would not be anything. In fact, in the Battle of Agincourt, was around 1400 AD, the Celts came across and in the name of England beat the French, basically killed off the entire royalty of the French and the entire hierarchy of France, and ended a very long period of wars between those two countries. And England took over France at that time. But it was because of the Celts, because of the Israelite warriors that were fighting for England. The longbow, which England carried into all through the days of its ships navigating the oceans, that's why England navigated the oceans and controlled the oceans for hundreds of years, was because of archery. When they would approach another ship, they would have their archers up in the rigging, and there was nobody alive on the other ship when they boarded it. They had tremendous power because of archery. When Benjamin Franklin was given the task of setting a standing army in the United States, he chose the longbow as the weapon of choice because it could be used in the rain. It was easily rapid-fired. Any man could handle it with proper training, and it could be crafted out of very rudimentary materials, etc. So the longbow was Benjamin Franklin's choice for, and the he was overruled and they chose the musket. But the Revolutionary War, for example, would not have lasted very long at all if the rebels, the United States, the revolutionary rebels of the United States, if they had longbows. Because while the English were reloading their firearms, the militia with longbows could have unloaded 50 arrows for every man standing. Okay, so anyway, this is a bit of history that you will not hear about in the history books. The longbow in archery is a very essential part of history, and it came from the Israelites who became the Celts, who became the people of Northern Ireland, and also the descendants of the Vikings that came down. So the Northern Germanic, the Norway, Sweden, Denmark, etc., and then the Ireland and the British Isles were the one of the final resting places of the Israelites. So when they came to the United States to settle for religious freedom, that's who they were, Israelites. There's a wholesale effort right now to destroy the Israelite race once and for all, and especially to keep them from knowing who they are. That's why I'm giving this lecture tonight. So if you're Irish heritage, if you're of Northern Germanic heritage, or a mixture of any of these are the tribes of Israel. It is not the people who are occupying a falsely named country named Israel who've stolen that identity from the true Israelites. And by the way, the Irish, the Israelites, are very happy people, people that like music, like lively dancing, etc. And here's something, too. If you follow this Irish tradition into the United States, you'll find that the Irish type of music is very characteristic of what you hear, say, in the Smoky Mountains. That same lively beat, etc. So a lot of the cultures of the Irish are now very recognizable in the United States. Just like a lot of people may not understand that country western music, a lot of the styles of music, the slide guitar, etc., come from the Polynesians, which is another, I wish I could give a whole another, maybe I will some night give an entire lecture on that group of people whose lives have been completely stolen and thrown asunder, let's just put it that way. But the Celts are very happy people. They like life. They're very bubbly people, etc., and very innovative, very energetic, very industrious, very hardworking, and they're very family-loving. So all of that is being destroyed today. I made comment to this a few days ago that if you see the Irish dancers, like the, river dancers or whatever, any of these groups, they always have their arms at their side and they're dancing. They're very lively dancing. But their arms are at their sides. And the reason for that is because when the English invaded Ireland, now you have to understand that element of the English is the remnant of the banker community that controls England, where there's a lot of Celtic, very proud Celtic people also in Israelites, being taken over by that atheistic element in a Christian country. But when that element went into Ireland to subjugate the Irish, they didn't allow dancing or music or fun. No laughing here, please. So the Irish had to dance with their arms at their side, so that when the British soldiers came by the window and looked in the window, it would look like they were just milling around, but they were actually dancing. So that is why in the Irish dances, they have their arms at their side. It's traditional. So an Irish ceilidh or dance, that's why they have their arms at their side. So that's just another indication of the subjugation of a race, keeping them from smiling. Hey, wear a mask, social distance, don't talk to anybody, don't look at anybody, That's all part of the racial destruction of the Israelite race, all on a bogus virus that doesn't even exist, that was created by guess who? Little Anthony Fauci. He's not an Israelite. No, sir. Created in a Chinese lab to subjugate the Israelite population of the United States and the world, to bring the entire world under the Great Reset. And so you find the people that are doing this all in consortium with the New World Order, with the Vatican Bank, with the Rothschild Front Bank of the Vatican, and the Jesuits, who are psychologically disturbed people. And so anyway, you have to understand who's controlling this. And so when, you know, people talk about, well, is Biden going to do something? I mean, this is ridiculous. These people are pawns. These people are nubs on a wheel that are being turned by other people. And one thing I've always said in analyzing this is if you see their names, if you see their faces, they are not the top people. They are people who are being rewarded on this planet. They're given their earthly reward, and they're very happy to get that, to screw you over royally, and they would screw over their grandmother. They would cut the eyes out of their own grandmother for a dime. That's the level of just despicable nature of these people. But they'll wear a suit, and they'll tell you how gloriously honorable they are, and they have your best intentions at heart. Just puke over the lies, the deception, because that's what they do. They're snakes, and they talk with a forked tongue. That's who they are. And if you look at other things going on, the United Nations, the Bank of England, the movement towards a world currency, everything you see today is a movement towards control of the world by psychologically deranged people who are in charge. That's the enemy. But the other true enemy are all of the other people in the government, the local, all the way down to your local government mayor or city council person who are following what they're told because they're getting a little benefit. They think they're going to be on the inside somehow, that these people are doing what they're told all the way down the line. So that's the other real enemy. And the other enemy is the news media, Wikipedia, YouTube, social media, all of the things designed to destroy the society as you know it, and to destroy the youth. The youth are very much under attack. And last but not least, the family is under attack, Major League. So the Christian Israelite nation is under attack. And they don't even know it. They don't even understand what the ground rules are, who's doing it, who's behind this, and how long this has been in progress. And it's the final stages right now. The final stages are right now. Just a couple notes. Go to my webpage. I'm not going to talk about it here. It's all there for you. jmccsci.com. A lot more information from where this came from, but very important to understand where you are coming from, what's going on, and where you are going. This is James McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we're at the crossroads. Good night.